Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And this is the wrestling podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with. And as is becoming more customary when we get together, we just record an episode to catch up. Yeah. And we really just talk about random things. And sometimes that is wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason we do this is we do a lot for you guys. This is for us.
Right.
This is our therapy.
Well, we had our therapy before we started.
We really did.
You psychoanalyzed me. And
did I really? I didn't. I hope you're not offended by that.
No, I think it's great. That's why I like talking to you about that stuff. I tell you all the time, like, as much as I know about wrestling, you know about the human condition. So, you give, and I'll say it on here, because as much as I make fun of you about stuff on here, and you give some of the best advice.
Well,
of anybody that I've ever met in my life, you really do. And I want to make sure everybody knows it. Like, anytime, like, I have had issues before and with things, and I would say to my wife, I got to call Heath.
What, really?
Yeah. And I said, I want to talk to Heath. And a lot of times you may not even know I'm doing it, because I'll just slip it in that this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what she said. but yeah, like, if I got something that's bothering me or something, all the time I'll say, I got to talk to Heath about this Thursday.
Well, I'm glad I could do
it. Because you got a way of doing it that where you don't talk down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you can tell, like, you listen to every single word that I have to say, and you don't interrupt me, and you allow me to interrupt you. When you start talking and I ain't ready to be done talking, and I keep talking and you just stop and allow me to keep going. And then like you did earlier that people didn't see, after it's all done, you open the box of little Debbie cakes and sit here and I have a snack cake and go over there and sit down.
So you talk about me giving you good advice.
Mm-hmm.
You gave me some advice today.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to that, the zebra cake rolls from Little Debbie.
Debbie has created her masterpiece, as far as I'm concerned.
Mark, you have stolen my gimmick, and you have hyped up this, and I'll put a picture of this on the...
Your first bite of the zebra cake Swiss cake roll. What do you think? I think that says it all.
I think Debbie did it.
I'm telling you, man, she has painted her masterpiece.
See,
with that zebra cake roll. Because I love the zebra cakes.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not, they're a little small.
These are the perfect size.
They are. It's
not
like,
too small, not too
big.
If
you've had the Boston cream, Little Debbie, it's that size. But it's zebra cake.
What if this had Boston cream in it?
Have you had the Boston cream one?
I have.
Well, then it would be a Boston cream pie if it had Boston cream in it.
Not if it was in a zebra cake. A zebra cake with Boston cream on the inside. What I'm going to say about this, Star Crunch, I love Star Crunches, is well documented on this show.
Yeah.
But the texture is not perfect. You're not eating it for the texture. It tastes good. The brownies can be a little heavy.
They're a little gummy. Yeah, they're almost fudge-like.
But this,
this zebra, see Heath holding the zebra cake.
It's light. The cream.
Hold that thing up for me again. Okay, I got a couple of pictures.
Mark is taking pictures that he will not be able to post.
No, this is the one. Oh, man. You got your eyes closed. And a look of pure ecstasy on your face. I'm going to send that along to you right now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, as we, like, our whole deal is we're not using our telephones.
Yeah.
It says it failed to send. But, like, as soon as we start recording the show, now we're on the phone texting each other.
That's funny. That's funny. So, catching up real quick, life update. Most of you guys know, all you guys know if you're listening, my wife's got Huntington's disease. She's really gone downhill the last couple of weeks. She was without one of her medicines for about 2 weeks. So here's how this works, okay? It's just frustrating, all the loopholes. So she was getting this medicine, and it controls your involuntary movements. Uh-huh. So she was getting this medicine through a grant. This is a $5,000 a month medicine. So we qualified for the grant, and she was getting that medicine. And then our insurance started covering the generic. Well, this isn't a medicine you can get at just any. You don't just walk into Walmart and be like, I got, this is not that kind of medicine. So it's just several weeks of our doctor talking to the insurance. And as frustrated as I got with the doctor's office and the nurse, at least she was the one on hold with my insurance company. Like, she did a lot of legwork, probably spent hours on the phone. So even though I was frustrated over the day, she was doing the most frustrating part of it. And found out, you know, I was looking at Canada and online pharmacies. We ended up, Mark, the guy calls me Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Says, all right, we got your medicine. It's going to be $15 a month. Mm. I said, Mark. He said, how soon do you need it? I said, man, we're desperate. When can you get to me? I had it by lunch the next day.
Nice.
For free. I mean, for the, no, they didn't charge. Well, you know, it's going to be $50 for the shipping. No.
Nothing.
So we're hoping that this medicine kicks back in. It has just been, it's just been hard, you know. So I'm glad to have this day. I'm glad to have this zebra cake. And I'm glad to talk about the various things we're going to talk about.
Uh-huh.
But one in particular, a story you shared
before
with me.
We do, before that,
right.
We
no,
about
I,
that,
yeah.
There's something that I wanted to bring up.
Yes.
That you didn't know that I was going to bring
okay.
up. I do not always listen back to our shows
because
I was here for the conversation. Sometimes, like, if there was something said that was funny, or I said something I felt might be a little controversial.
Right.
And then I find out it's never as controversial as I think it is. That's why I listen back to it.
You slipped in a cuss word on me on
I sure
Batman
did.
And Superman.
I did. And that's what I wanted to hear.
And didn't hear it.
Yeah, I know.
I didn't hear it in the conversation.
And that's why I listened back to that show, because I knew that I had slipped it past you.
Bashfully.
Yeah. Like, that's become a new thing for me. If you ever watched, if you've seen the clips of them on Saturday Night Live where they slip cuss words in, especially Norm MacDonald was famous for it. Like, I'm going to start trying to do that on the show, is to slip one in on you without you noticing it. Now, I probably won't do it today.
Right.
Because you're going to be listening for it.
Yeah.
But down the road, I'll be trying to slip them in. And I got one past you, which was, I wanted it. That's why I listened. I wanted to hear if I got it past you. And, I was listening back to us talk about the movies that we got.
Yeah.
And it was so funny to me, like, this little moment where you were looking through the ones that you got and you found Cold Mountain and you went, oh, cool. And I was like, what? I thought, like, this thing's signed by Nicole Kidman or something like
right,
that.
Right, right.
And you went, it's got special features. And I thought,
no, it was two discs.
Yeah, two discs, okay? Yeah. But it's got a disc with special features on
it. Right, that I won't
ever
watch.
And it's like you were living for a moment in a universe where DVDs don't have special features anymore. And you were so excited about the fact that Cold Mountain had special features. And I just thought it was funny to hear that.
So our experience at the movie store kind of goes back to our therapy in that I didn't know it had two discs because I didn't even open it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't open any of those before I left the store. Whereas you checked every single one of yours, probably checked for scratches. You made sure you would get what you paid for. And I was like, ah, they're in there.
I did. I checked every one of them. I flipped because she said, do you want to look through them? And
y'all
I said, I already have.
Yeah, I looked through them.
I opened every one because there was one I was going to get that was scratched up. And I put it back.
Yeah.
Why would I pay $2 for a scratch?
I bought all those fine movies and found myself watching Rhinestone last night. Simply because I made the choice. Like I needed to see something that was so absurd. And almost got to the point, the Rhinestone soundtrack is on iTunes.
And you started to buy it?
I started to buy it. I did not buy it.
Can I tell you what song that I bought on iTunes the other day?
Sure.
Because it finally... You keep talking, but there's something else you want to say.
But if you have not seen Rhinestone, I told my son watched about the first 10 minutes with me.
Uh-huh.
I said, son, this is a movie every person must watch. Because it is so absurd. It is everything. It is so absurd, it is funny.
Right.
And nobody's mailing it in. They should be mailing it in.
Oh, they're playing it straight, man.
And it is just, it's like somebody said, man, what if we did this? And nobody stood up until obviously it came out. Nobody went to see it. Nobody came up and said, guys, this is a bad idea.
Yeah, this is ridiculous.
This is ridiculous.
So this song drops on iTunes.
Uh-huh.
And I bought it. See how long.
Are you serious?
How long it
I'm
takes.
Downloading it right now. Oh. It dropped on iTunes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm buying it right now. Must buy. Must buy. That's our new entrance music.
Now we'll never be able to put this on YouTube.
Dang it.
You know, but that's all right.
That's awesome. You know all the words.
I wonder if anybody else
download.
Oh yeah, man, you gotta get it. It's so great. Home Sweet Misery.
Boom, boom. Yeah. That's Indiana, whole USA. Fast free, nasty and hot. The further down the street you went, the badder it got.
Anyway, I had to share that.
Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, man.
Oh, dude, that hook on that.
That's a badass song. Dun, man.
Dun, 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 dun,
I love dun, that song.
The totally 80s, man.
And I listen to it. Like, I've listened to it on several times, hooked up to the stereo in the house, and I prance around. It's like there's a couple of songs that get me like that, and I like, when I'm listening to Bad Street, I'm prancing around like Michael Hayes. Yeah. When I listen to Immigrant Song, I walk through the house like Bruiser Brody.
Right.
When I hear Steve Austin's song, I walk like Steve Austin through the house.
When you hear Midnight Rider, you put on a mask.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Oh, that's great, man. Oh, that's, I didn't, okay, thank you, because I have been
waiting. Michael Hayes, I follow him on Twitter, we've talked about this, the life of a tweet is,
yeah.
I mean, it's like 30, 45 seconds, I mean, because right. Nobody's scrolling through Twitter
some
20
people
minutes,
are.
So, but I just happened to open it, and Michael Hayes had posted this is now available on iTunes, so.
Wonder what kind of deal they made.
I don't know, man.
He got some money.
I'm looking to find that on vinyl, though, because he released a whole album, you know, back in the 80s. One day I'm going to find
it. Hey, when we take our break, tweet him and say, do you know of anywhere to get this?
I mean.
Come on, man. Do it for me.
I can find it. I mean, I can get it on eBay.
Oh, gotcha.
Like, I want to find it at a wrestling convention. It's not. I can buy anything on the internet, Cat.
Well,
you say, I don't know if you're going to find it. You know what I found at a wrestling convention?
What's that?
The Ballad of Handsome Jimmy on 45 that I bought from Jim Cornette's personal collection that I then had Jimmy Valiant and Jimmy Hart signed.
And so Jimmy Hart.
Tell me I ain't never going to find it.
Well, Jimmy Hart, who said, hey, baby, where'd you find this, boy? I ain't never seen it.
Yeah, he was
so
excited.
No, let me tell you, he was so excited, he broke character.
Mm-hmm.
He's like,
he
man,
did. He
where
was
did,
like,
where did you get this?
He was like, hey, baby. Yeah, he did. Like, he quit being, hey, baby, hey, baby, hey, baby. And he took his sunglasses off, put them up on his head and said, wow, where did you find this?
And if we,
and I said, I bought it from Jim Cornette. So, like, as you know, it is like the centerpiece of my wrestling history collection,
yeah,
of my memorabilia, because it's a 45 of the Ballad of Handsome Jimmy,
yeah,
that was only sold on TV in,
yeah,
the Memphis area.
Yeah.
And it's got a handwritten description of,
yeah,
what it is, written
by
Jim Cornette.
Yeah.
Bought out of Jim Cornette's personal collection.
Yeah.
From Jim Cornette face to face. That I also got to talk to the Boogie Woogie Man and Jimmy Hart and have both of them sign it. It's got both of their names on it. I mean, and it's on a thing, like,
yeah,
on where I keep my DVDs. I have it sitting on top of that.
And if we haven't said it before, and I know we have, but we'll say it again, Jimmy Hart, if you ever get a chance to meet that guy, one of the nicest guys.
Legitimately one of the nicest people. Like, I would put him up there with Booker T and Stevie Ray.
Yeah.
As legitimately nice people.
Yeah.
So much, because I think we even talked about it. Most of the time you go to those conventions, like Animal,
mm-hmm,
never,
right,
makes eye contact with anybody.
Yeah.
Most of those guys, and I understand you can't. If they start making eye contact, then people are always stopping them,
right,
to talk to them. So,
yeah.
Jimmy Hart, as he's leaving,
yeah,
Fan Fest, takes the time to stop and say, hey, I appreciate you guys coming out. And I really think he remembered the 45, and I think that's why he did.
And I think you and I, listen, again, it bears repeating, when you and I go somewhere, we are memorable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because we're the Fred and Barney of, mm-hmm, wrestling. And I think I'm memorable because I'm standing next to you.
And I think I'm memorable because I am.
Yes. So, real quick, I wasn't there when you got Boogie to sign it. So, what was that interaction like?
Just, he did the same thing. He was like, wow, man, I hadn't seen one of these in so long. Where did you find it, you know? And I was like, it was like 10 feet from you, right across the aisle, because that's where Cornette was at. He was, like,
yeah,
right across from,
yeah,
from Boogie. But I was like, you know, Cornette had it. He was like, man, I haven't seen one of these in years, man.
Yeah.
And,
And that's, isn't that the crazy thing about the wrestling business? I mean, there's a lawsuit for WWE right now that these guys do things and then they lose track. So something,
yeah,
that somebody made money off of them for.
Mm-hmm. And they made money too, but they're,
right,
not making money off of it now.
Right. There's no residuals.
Yeah, there's no residuals. On
the only person who made money off it, that, well, they did you pay that? You, they all made money because you paid for the
I paid Cornette, I paid Hart, and I paid Boogie to
so maybe them. I'm in the wrong.
So I had, I've got, I mean, I got $50 in the whole transaction because I paid 25 for the, or 20,
yeah,
20 or 25 for the album.
And that included Cornette's signature, and then you paid.
Well, he didn't sign it, but he wrote the,
oh,
description of it. I thought back, and I wish that I had gotten him to sign it as,
yeah,
well. Like, I wish that would, and I wish I'd have got a picture of me and him holding it. And if I could have, it would have been great to have gotten all three of them and have a picture of me holding it. I wish now, if I could go back and do it all over again, that's what.
We don't think about stuff,
mm-mm,
like that. You know what else we don't think about? Conspiracy theories.
Uh-huh.
Now, let me just go ahead and put this out here, okay? I think conspiracy theory is a derogatory term.
It is a term that was created to describe, I forget, there's actually a conspiracy theory about the term conspiracy theory, which is beautiful. As you know, as we talk, I'm a buff. First of all, the things we're fixing to talk about, I'm not saying I believe them. I just like them.
But before,
and I love that there's a conspiracy theory that the term conspiracy theory was created to make you sound like a crackpot for believing in them.
Yeah. So it was a conspiracy theory. It was believed that Tony Stark's parents died in a simple car crash.
Uh huh. That's what we've always thought.
We've always thought. But now we are told. Spoiler alert, 3, 2, 1.
Spoiler alert. If you don't want to hear anything about Civil War, stop listening.
And I'm not talking about Cold Mountain Civil War. Can I tell a Civil War joke real
quick? Sure.
So, like I said, my wife's sick. So, when we have a cool moment, I take a picture. Right. I mean, I take a picture of my mind. So the other day, my kids were supposed to have state testing. They couldn't do the state testing because it was Confederate Memorial Day and the system wasn't on because the state offices were closed, okay?
Are you kidding me?
Not kidding you. It's Confederate Memorial Day, May the 10th, which was Tuesday. So I said to Karen said, what's that song? She said, what's our song? I said, what song? She's like, the South song. And I said, oh, I wish I was. And I started whistling Dixie. Everybody knows that first line of it. Uh-huh. And I said, what's the North song? And Karen said, ha ha, we won, you suck. And I just thought that's hilarious.
Is it Yankee Doodle Dandy?
I don't know.
Which is actually, if you ever heard the origin of the real Yankee Doodle, that song, the
yeah.
North song, is an insult to them. The Yankee Doodle, a Yankee Doodle Dandy, like dandies were like the guys who were wore dressed really flamboyantly, and you know what dandy means.
Yeah. So
I'm trying to be politically correct here.
Wow.
And trying to be politically correct, you wind up not being politically correct at all.
Why am I not surprised that you knew the history?
Stuck a feather in his hat and called it macaroni. Like, I think macaroni was like a gay hangout place.
I think that's.
You want me to tell you why we flipped the bird?
Yeah.
All right. Years ago. And I don't know. There was some. I think it was the French.
For the record, I don't.
Now, I don't know if this is true. And I don't remember the whole story. But basically, there was this great. Somebody, I think they were either fighting the French or they were French. I don't remember everything. But they had their archery during the war, their archery team, or whatever you would call it, platoon, was the best in the world. So when they had caught all these archers and they cut their index finger off.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought by cutting their index fingers off that they would not be able to use their bows and arrows anymore. But they all used their middle finger and they still drew their bow back and they were still able to aim true. And when they would do it, they would hold their middle finger up and say, we can still pluck you.
That's awesome. That makes me want to flip the bird more.
I don't know if it's true or not, but
if it was said on this show, Mark, it was true.
Yeah, could be.
That's a good. If you did just make that up off the top of your head,
I did not make it up. I have heard it. I have heard the story.
I have seen it many times.
It was told much better by Robert Werr.
Oh, yeah,
the stand-up comedian.
Yeah,
has had a show that came on HBO.
Hmm.
Where he talked about all these forgotten things from history. And those were two of them. One of them was the Yankee Doodle Dandy was actually an insult. And the pluck you and holding up the middle finger.
Wow.
And of course, pluck you would be the derivative of.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
I didn't say it.
Dang it. 22, 23, 24. So here we go from crack.
Did you go back and erase it, or are you going to have to insert a woo?
It was so quick.
Yeah, I didn't say the whole word. I said it like I broke it up.
You know what you did?
You don't have to put the
E. You know what you did? You're just trying to make work for me. So crack.com, 5 stupid conspiracy theories. Wait, hold on. This is the URL is different from the actual title.
That we have to admit actually makes sense.
Yeah, 5 conspiracy theories we're ashamed to admit make sense. No, let me just go ahead and say this. This used to be Cracked Magazine, which, you know, every kid picked up. Not to be confused with Mad Magazine.
Like you did this morning.
Right. We are sharing this for entertainment purposes only. I cannot vouch for the validity or cleanness of any other articles on this website. Disclaimer over.
Yeah. I just think I like
the link will
I
be
like
in the show notes.
Conspiracy theories and all these are pretty cool. So
let's start with number 5, Mark. Donald Trump is a shill for the Hillary Clinton presidential campaign.
Yeah. And it Like, if breaks you read the article, it breaks down, like, every time, like, something would come out negative about her, like, whether it be about the Benghazi stuff, or, like, as soon as that news would break, he would come out and say something ridiculous, like, all Latinos are rapists and drug dealers. And
he didn't say that.
I know he didn't. I know he didn't. But that's the way it got twisted, is that that's what he said.
Hey, so, I've heard this talked about on, you know, some conservative shows. I listen to Alex Jones, and that's his biggest, one of his biggest fears right now is that
Trump's a liberal.
That Trump is a shill for the Clinton campaign. And I hadn't thought about that, you know, when there's bad news for Clinton, Trump ends up on the news. You know, people haven't even talked about how much Trump has been on TV giving interviews. Mm-hmm. The equivalent of over $1 billion of advertising that he didn't have to buy because he's been on so many shows.
By just saying ridiculous things.
That they bring him. He says something, and then they bring him on for an actual interview. Mm-hmm. And as much as people would say the media is against him, there's no such thing as bad publicity.
Right. Clearly.
I'm not voting for him.
I don't even vote for either one of them.
Well, there you go. Who is the Double Drop Kick show going to endorse?
There's a great episode of Andy Griffith where they are talking about voting.
Yeah.
And because this used to be the way it was in this country. And Andy was like joking with Barney about who he voted for.
Yeah.
And Barney led into him that when I step into that ballot booth, who I pull that lever for is between me and my conscience. And how I choose to vote is between me and my conscience. And it's really none of your business how I choose to vote.
Oh, wow. That's
pretty much what Barney told him. But it was a joke. It was Andy. Like, yeah. Andy obviously knew he was spinning him up. But that used to be the way it was in this country where people kept that to themselves because it doesn't really do any good.
Right.
I have never seen a post where anybody said, you know, somebody had a real well thought out tweet and I have now changed all my political opinions.
Yeah.
You know, I read that Facebook post and it completely changed the way I thought about anything.
Right.
So who I'm voting for is really none of your business or anybody else's business.
Well, there you go.
Now, I think if we as a society all agreed to that, we'd probably be better off. We'd all get along a little bit better.
Now, when we had the primary, I kind of had an idea when I stepped in the – wasn't even a booth. I kind of had an idea, but didn't really know until I, pushed the button or whatever. Yeah. Somebody said the other day, man, you know, the fact that these are our two candidates shows we're in bad shape. I said, listen, if you hadn't seen we're in bad shape before this is not proof of anything, you know.
No, this is just, this is what happens when you get a country that is so
full of morons.
You know, and that was fun. I was thinking back to September 11th. I'm just thinking, like, that's really the last time as a country that everybody was kind of on the same page.
Yeah.
We were, like, that brought everybody together, and we kind of were together for a while, and then it became even more polarized almost than I can ever remember it being.
It's almost like somebody planned it that way. And you know what? We never even did talk about Civil War. We got off topic.
Well, we'll get back to it. But here's an interesting thing that Trump said the other day that had he said the other, I think it would be all over the news.
Yeah.
And maybe it is.
Is this what you were going to tell me that I didn't
know? It is, but I'm not on social media anymore, right, so I don't know what people are offended about this week.
Right.
But I know, like, the comment that he made had to make everybody mad. Like, the people that hate him were probably mad that he said what he said, because it dispelled the rumor that he's a hate monger. And the people that support him were mad because it doesn't line up with anything that they believe. When Matt Lauer asked Donald Trump if Caitlyn Jenner walked into Trump Towers, which bathroom would you make her use? And he said, I really don't care what bathroom she uses. We got a lot bigger issues than where people take a piss at. And I just got to think that has got to make – like, it's got to make everybody uncomfortable.
Right,
like, Donald Trump is the ultimate troll.
Yeah.
He really is. It's so great to me. And I'll tell you, I was walking around Target yesterday, and as I looked around and realized – there probably aren't any bigots in here. It made me happy. I mean, I was walking around.
Will you stop?
What?
I don't think. Now, are there people who are bigots that say things? Yes. But I think there are people on that's the side of the other side of the bathroom issue that are not bigots, in my opinion.
I don't.
So,
but I don't.
You don't. So you think I'm a bigot?
Ah, see, now you bring it home where I have to look you in the eye and say yes.
Okay.
I don't. I think bigots. I think people don't want to admit that we have prejudices, and we all do. We've all got our prejudices about things.
No, I don't disagree with you.
Since we're talking about it,
yeah.
The question of would I find my daughter to be safer, to be safe in the bathroom with a transsexual? I would find her to be safer in the bathroom with a transsexual, and I would find her to be safe at New Springs Church right now.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a local.
Now, that's my opinion, and if the New Springers hear it and want to get mad at me, that's fine, but. Is somebody not accused of raping a child who was a volunteer or whatever, kind of deal at New Spring? Are they or are they not?
See, but all right,
I would find her, if I had a son, I would find him to be safer in the bathroom with a woman who identifies as a man than I would with most Catholic priests.
So for me, this is what I would love to see happen. I don't even know if this is possible, but whoever came up with the idea that, hey, using the bathroom is about the most personal thing you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Let's have a bunch of people do it together. Let's just, for the men, we're just going to put a trough in here.
Let's just have a big old pee party.
Let's just have a trough in here. So this week, the United Methodist Church is having their general conference in Portland, and this is an issue they're talking about. One of the guys goes to the bathroom, and the Portland Convention Center is all gender bathrooms. He took a picture of it and just says, you know, this is a first for me. I've never been in an all gender bathroom. And there's a urinal. And I'm just telling you, okay, it's uncomfortable for me to go to a urinal knowing there's a possibility that a woman could walk in there. Mm-hmm.
If you and RuPaul, because I'm just using her because that's like the that's
okay.
The one,
so let's stop right there. I know who you're talking about, but I don't know. Okay. I don't know.
Would you prefer her use the bathroom beside you or prefer her to go into the women's bathroom? Full regalia. She's dressed to the nines.
But is she?
Would you prefer she stand beside you and use the bathroom or go into the bathroom where you're? Here's the problem.
Right.
We equate being a homosexual or being a transgender person with being a depraved individual.
Okay,
that is
so
preying on children. And we have and that's what makes you a bigot. You think that just,
okay.
And I'm not saying you do.
No, right.
You asked me about bigot. What makes you a bigot is saying somebody is a homosexual or somebody is a transgender person, that must mean they want to rape our children.
Okay. And
that's
I'm saying
what, and they do not.
I am not saying
depraved.
That not everybody thinks that on the side of the issue that thinks the bathroom should be separate. I'm just telling you, I know people. For me, it's not about like I'm not even thinking about my kids in this. I'm thinking about for me. Uh-huh. They're talking about creating a safe space. For me, it's not a safe space. Like, I'm at the urinal, and you're telling me a woman can walk in? I'm not going to use the urinal. I'm going to go use a stall.
Okay. Then go use
And now I do think there are people who are born and things happen, and they don't know if they're legitimately don't know if they're male or female, okay? Absolutely. And do I think, I mean, that we got to talk about that. I mean, that's an issue. I mean, that
somebody I heard this was, and it is so true. Somebody said, don't you think that like 13 years old is a little too young for kids to be trying to decide what their gender ID is? And their response was, it ain't too young for them to be killing themselves over it.
Well, that's true. I do think it is a much more complex issue.
And here's, to me, the issue with the bathroom thing is not as much the bathroom thing. It's all the other stuff that's tied to it. It's the making it okay to discriminate against people and you know, legalizing discrimination. And I don't know all that. I haven't read every letter of the law, but I do understand that there's more to it. It's if I own a business and I fire somebody that's homosexual because it doesn't fall in line with my religious and political, but that's okay. That's not okay.
All right, so let me ask you this.
Do you think it's okay if you own a business to fire somebody because of what they do in their personal life?
Okay, I'm not coming at this from a business standpoint. I'm coming from, like I said, United Methodists are meeting, and just a couple of days ago, over 100 clergy members and church members came out as homosexual. So I think my fear is that, so as a church, for me, okay, let's say I got a staff member, and they've gone through, you know, ordination or classes. When you go through ordination, there's certain things you agree to. And then you tell me that you have been living a lifestyle contrary to that, the things that you've agreed to.
Okay.
Then in that context, that is very clearly stated, then yes, I would say, that situation, church, on issues more than even homosexuality, that we would have cause to.
Do you have anybody who works for you right now that's divorced?
No.
Would you? Could somebody be on the staff at a church that's been divorced?
Yes.
So that's okay. We can go against what God's word says. We can go against what God's word says about divorce. But we can't go against what it says about other things.
Here's the thing, though, okay?
Went down a path here, dude.
But if they can't, the title of this episode, the one where we offend everybody.
The one that got off the rails.
But if like a year or two down the road, I find out, oh, by the way, I'm divorced, and that wasn't. What I'm talking about is keeping something hidden.
So if somebody's openly gay from the get-go, you got no problem with
it. No, that's not. I'm saying I would not.
That's what you said.
No, I'm saying that obviously that contradicts with what our church would believe, and I would not have hired them. Where if somebody hid that they were divorced and I found out they're divorced, both situations, if it comes out that you've been hiding something that goes against. I feel like we didn't get a lot of prep work for this. So I don't know if I'm making a lot of. I don't know that I'm making a lot of sense. That's what I'm saying. It's what you said about divorce. This is such a complex.
It is.
Issue.
It is.
And what I would love to see happen. I don't think I finished my thought on this. Is why can't we just have private bath? Why can't we just have bathrooms where one person goes in, or a family bathroom, where if I've got small children.
Right, I like the family.
And so your option is,
yep.
I go in. It is just me. I lock the door. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But they have made laws that if you are building a building and it's this much square feet or it holds this many people, you got to have this many bathrooms. And to have that many bathrooms, it's not fiscally responsible to have 15 individual bathrooms. You got to have this one big room where everybody goes in at the same time. So that's a conspiracy I'll give you right there.
I like the idea of the family bathroom everywhere. And that way you don't have to worry about it.
I agree. I would be totally...
You know what I mean?
If
you're a woman, that bothers you, go use the family one. If you're a man, it bothers you, go use the family one. If you have children. Or, as my wife says, I love her insight on things.
Yeah.
And she doesn't always share them.
Right.
But
right.
When you get a half a drink in her, as I said, she turns into, I have a couple of different names for it. One is Crystal Luther King Jr. The other is Crystal X. I call her both of those. Her opinion on it is this. First of all, if you are a mother who is sending your 5-year-old child into the bathroom by themselves, maybe you need to rethink your parenting. Second of all, if any of this bothers you that bad, hold it till you get home.
So I went in, I don't know if I talked about this on the show.
Because for the record, it doesn't bother. She's told me she has no issue using the bathroom with a transgender in the bathroom with her. She has no issue with it at all.
Most of the time, you don't.
You would never know. Any man that is going to, that is not a legitimate transgender person, that would dress up as a woman with the intention of going into a female bathroom to accost a female would do that anyway. Because it ain't just... It's against law to rape people, too.
Right.
And it ain't stopping them.
Right.
So I just don't like the... My whole issue is we equate someone being a homosexual or a transgender individual with them living a depraved lifestyle just because it doesn't line up with our religious beliefs.
I would say you can't equate that with just because someone is a homosexual that they're automatically going to seek to harm your children.
Right. That is not the case. And as you and I have discussed, would you, like, given the choice between a child having two male parents who are homosexual, who are going to raise it in a loving, caring environment and make sure that it's provided for and gets a good education, versus a man and a woman who are going to cook meth in the home, what's a better home for that child to be raised in? And for me, all day long, 100 out of 100 times, I would rather see it with the two gay men who are going to raise the child in a loving, caring, nurturing environment, as opposed to a kid that's going to eat cheese doodles for supper because his parents don't care enough to take care of him, even though they're a man and a woman. 100 out of 100 times, I'd put that little boy with a gay couple and have no issue with it.
Yeah, and what's sad is the people cooking the meth would probably be front of the line saying, oh, you know, they can't raise a kid.
Right.
Whatever. I'm like,
that's against God right there.
while they're cooking meth
with their kids in the house.
So I went, we were at Golden Corral in Anderson. Oh, this is maybe a year ago. And I go into the men's bathroom and there is a woman just straight up standing there.
Yeah.
But she's with her son.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the stall and she's helping him. And I just walked back out and I'm like, I asked people, I'm like, well, he's probably 4 or 5 years old. And I'm like, you take your son to the women's bathroom in the stall.
So.
You kind of shield. And I just had never seen that. And I just made a choice. You know, I walked back out.
I have done two things. I have done both of the things we're talking about.
Yeah.
I have used a women's bathroom.
Uh-huh.
Because the men's bathroom was out of order. I was at Ingles.
Yeah.
And they were cleaning the men's bathroom because somebody had apparently had a blowout.
Oh, my.
And I told the guy.
Yeah.
Like, the manager was back there. I said, look, I understand you got a mess out here or in here. If I don't go to the bathroom.
You're going
to
have another mess.
You're going to have another mess, and it's going to be where everybody can see it. Because I'm just telling you, that happens sometimes when you're 40.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I'm not going to make it to my house.
Yeah.
And there's not another bathroom. And he said, I tell you what, there's nobody in the women's bathroom. You go in the women's bathroom and do what you got to do.
Yeah.
So I told my wife was there. She stood at the door.
Right.
And said, if a lady comes along, I'll let her know that that bathroom was out of order. And that was the condition. Yeah. We all agreed that right. this is how this is going to go down. Yeah. She'll stand watch. She'll let the ladies know yeah. there's a man in there. Blah, blah. So I have used a women's bathroom. And let me tell you, boys, we getting it wrong.
Yeah.
There was a bouquet of flowers in there.
Yeah.
It was clean. There was a waste basket in every stall. Oh, it was great. It was one of the greatest crapping experiences of my life to use a female bathroom. And I have also urinated in front of a woman in a men's bathroom.
Okay. Well.
And if you're in there.
Hey, stuff happens. Listen, I'm in here to do a job.
I'm in here to pee.
Yes.
And if you want to be in here, you're going to have to watch me pee.
I just think.
If you come in there, don't get mad at me when I whip it out and start whizzing.
I don't think, and even, this is 2016, and I don't think women understand the status of the men's bathroom. I think that women, I talk to women today, when they find out there's just a trough in there that men line up and we pee at.
Have you seen the show F is for Family on Netflix?
Uh-uh.
Oh, my God. There's like this great, they go to the bar, and it's set like in the 70s.
Yeah.
Bathrooms have come a long way. If
yes.
you've ever been to a Major League Baseball park and gone to one of those bathrooms,
yeah.
it is yeah. dead on. This little boy has to go to the bathroom. He walks in to one of those Major yeah. League big where it used to just be like troughs
yeah.
on the wall. You don't see those as much anymore. You don't.
You do at Death Valley and Clemson, but right. not in schools.
But not in schools. Right. You don't see them in schools, but you do see them still at sporting events.
Yeah.
You still see those. There was one that when we went and saw Survivor Series, there was a trough in
yeah.
there because I had to go. But like the little boy's first exposure to the trough, you have to watch it. It's
oh,
let me tell
I don't
you.
Have to watch it because I lived it the first game I took Drake to Clemson. So you tell me and I'll yeah. tell you if I got yeah. the same reaction.
That's true. I mean, it's great, man.
Now, Drake
the show is filthy. So
right.
if you watch it, don't get mad at me when you hear something that might offend
Drake. We walked into the bathroom and we'd been standing in line and we get in there and Drake looks at that trough and says, uh-uh. And he went in the stall, you know. He went in the stall. So
this kid walks in, and there's like a guy standing there with his pants around his ankles, peeing, and you can see a set of nuts.
Oh, yeah. God.
He looks up, and there's this set of balls, and he's like, ah, and he just takes
I off. Don't think women understand the etiquette of what, because you got some guys, oh, man, are we going? Like, there's just, not all men pee. The same way. You got some guys who will go to a urinal, pull their pants all the way down around their ankles.
I don't understand that.
I don't either.
Why would you do that?
You got some guys, they get ready and they like put their hands on the wall. Like,
one hand on the wall, one hand on the wall.
Or they no hand it and like.
I ain't gonna no hand it. I like to be in control over where things are. You no hand it, next thing you know, you wind up with wet britches if you ain't careful.
This is yeah. very, very true. And
plus the angle of my dangle ain't gonna allow me to just let her hang and rip, boy.
Oh my goodness. So conspiracy theory number four. My computer is not. New Coke was a deliberate failure designed to introduce corn soap, corn syrup, not corn soap.
Yeah.
Mark, share the behind this.
Basically what the thing said was that everybody knows they changed the formula of Coke in the 80s, and it was New Coke. And there was this huge backlash because it tasted so different from original Coke. But the theory is that they were changing from sugar to corn syrup.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if you buy Mexican Coke, it's still made with cane sugar. So I just found that out. So when you go into Ingles and they got those Mexican Cokes in there, that's why.
With the bottle.
In the bottle, because the Mexican Cokes are made with sugar.
Nothing like bottled Coke.
So they changed that when the corn syrup started, which I believe is contributing to a lot of the obesity. That's when we started seeing obesity become an epidemic, was when they started using corn syrup instead of real sugar. Anyway, the theory is that they knew that they were going to go back to the original formula, but that it was still going to be different because it was going to be corn syrup instead of sugar. So by changing to New Coke and getting everybody drinking it for 3 or 4 months, then they could change back to the original formula with the corn syrup, and people wouldn't notice that it did actually still taste a little different than it had before.
Yeah. So what
so
we need to
knew
do...
The intention was that people would reject New Coke. They just needed enough time to switch to corn syrup.
So if we can work it out today, I may have to go pick my kids up. You want to go to Pauline's place.
Yeah.
There's an Ingles there. I say as a service to America and the world.
Get a Mexican Coke?
We get a We get a Mexican Coke and an American Coke, and we just see try to taste the difference.
Okay.
And do that as a social experiment.
We can do that. And you have to get like, you have to eat like a saltine. You got some saltines at the house?
I'm sure I do. To get the taste out of it.
Yeah, you cleanse your palate. I learned that because my father was in Burger King years ago, and they were testing out the new chicken sandwiches, and they had like 9 different sandwiches.
Yeah.
And he tried all 9 of them, and in between, he would have to eat a saltine cracker to cleanse his palate. And they bought his lunch because he participated in the taste test.
Huh.
Interesting. And I know that because he tells me that story about every 6 months. Every time he eats a cracker, he reminds me of the time
that he
had something to do with the. You know that chicken sandwich they got at Burger King? I'm partially responsible for that.
You know they almost called it the Ronnie.
Yeah, that's right. Every time he eats a cracker, but he always starts with this. I don't know if I've told you this before. Yes, you do. You know that you've told me this before.
So so my kids, we got Six Flags passes, and they want to go to the World of Coke, and you can taste all the different Cokes.
Uh-huh.
And I'm just going to be honest. I didn't think New Coke was that bad.
I don't remember what New Coke tasted like.
Remember because I went been to the World of Coke since then, and so I remember tasting it. I'm like,
this
is delicious.
It probably was. You know what else wasn't bad?
What's that?
That gets a bum rap that I hear that they're bringing back? Crystal Pepsi. I kind of like Crystal Pepsi.
You remember the Saturday Night Live commercial where they did Crystal Gravy?
Yeah, I do, man.
You know who the main...
I thought Crystal Pepsi was good, man.
Let me add another layer to this conspiracy theory. You know who the main spokes guy for New Coke was?
Who?
Bill Cosby.
Really?
Go back and watch some of those commercials. Or maybe he was the one when Coke Classic came back.
Could be.
Because they knew America trusted Bill Cosby.
You think that's why they hired Bill Cosby?
And if Bill Cosby says this is
the... Boy, how the mighty have fallen. Now nobody trusts Bill. Bill Cosby offers you a drink, boy. You better say no.
I wouldn't go to the bathroom with Bill Cosby. No,
I'd feel safer in the bathroom with RuPaul than I would Bill Cosby all day. RuPaul's a good-looking chick, man.
I would just disagree with that.
I love saying that, making you uncomfortable. Listen, I've seen some transgender women. If you can tell me, that you don't think they're good-looking, I'll call you a liar.
True, true, true. All right, so here's the next one.
Hey, Bruce Jenner ain't bad-looking. All dolled up. Got that lazy eye going on. But other than that...
What is it with the lazy eye? Does that just happen as people get older or something?
I don't know. I kind of look forward to getting one, though.
Enzo Amore will put that thing back to work. So here's
Caitlyn
one that...
Caitlyn Jenner, though, that's a good-looking woman. I don't care what nobody says. You see her on the cover of Vogue magazine? She looked good, Kat.
Nah. Even if I had known that wasn't a man, I would have been like, eh.
I'm just kidding with you. I'm just trying to make you uncomfortable.
We're so far beyond that now.
You are worried to death about when that comes.
No, I'm not. I'm really not worried about it. Like, this is the kind of episode that goes viral and either makes it or breaks it.
That is true. And I sound like I'm a great supporter of the gay community on it. So I'm in the clear. I'm gold as far as that. But they'll probably pick out like 10 seconds where I used some term the way I wasn't supposed to use it.
He said dandy.
Yeah, he said dandy.
That's so derogatory.
Yeah, that's our word.
Mark, if you're going to use the word doodle.
We prefer dandy American.
So this third one I had not heard. All right, I've heard the rest of the ones on this list. I hadn't heard this one. Paul Walker was murdered by a corrupt charity. Now, I haven't read this article. You did.
I did. I don't remember everything about this story.
I'm trying to scroll down. My
computer was working. He had started or was working with some charity, started some charity, and he discovered that somebody was embezzling some money off the top and was going to expose it, and they killed him before he had a chance to.
That he was working with Philippines typhoon relief effort called Reach Out Worldwide. He discovered an embezzlement scam, and they rigged his car to explode so he couldn't go to the media.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think they're giving Paul Walker a little too much credit for his investigative journalism. I can't imagine that he's going, you know, like sitting around the house or on a break from filming Fast and Furious 7. And he said, all right, guys, I know you're going out drinking tonight, but I got to go do some investigating on this charity over here. I don't believe that for a second.
I don't know why my computer's not working.
Well, I can tell you what number two was because I remember. Unless you want to read the headline here, the way.
No. You go ahead. What was number two?
Do you care to talk about the Paul Walker thing anymore? Because I think that's a little bit far-fetched.
Because the car they ran into a tree.
Yeah, they were doing like a. It's not like they were. They were cruising along at 20.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. These guys were out flying, and they had a wreck. I mean, I talked.
And I don't think he was driving.
No, he wasn't. And I talked to my nephew about it at the time, and I remember us saying, "This is why you got to make good choices." I mean, it really is. Number two was that the Elf on a Shelf is actually conditioning your children to accept Big Brother spying on them. I forget how they phrased it, but that's pretty much what it means. That it, like, you're not allowed to, and I don't know because I don't have children, and I think the Elf on a Shelf thing is kind of creepy and goofy, and I guess that's why people think this, but that basically the Elf on a Shelf is there. You're not allowed to interact with the Elf on the Shelf. You're not allowed to touch the Elf on the Shelf. You don't talk to the Elf on the Shelf. Like, they talk about even people, some kids will ask you, like, they ask for permission to go in the house so they don't make the Elf on the Shelf mad. And that it's all about conditioning them that being spied on is okay. And that people watching to make sure that they're not doing anything wrong and that they're not doing stuff that they shouldn't. And regardless of what we do over here, one kind of makes sense.
Pay no attention to the man behind
the turn. Pay no attention to the mess that we're making. Yeah. You don't worry about Benghazi. You don't worry about the mess that we made.
Yeah.
You just understand that we're watching you and you do what we tell you to do.
Right.
I will say this about the bathroom thing.
Yeah.
First of all, one thing I want to say, because it popped into my head when you were talking. I don't think that in any way, shape, form, or fashion that they should ever be able to tell you that you have to perform a ceremony.
Right.
I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to do that because there is a point when your freedoms infringe upon other people's freedoms. I don't think you should have to perform a ceremony because the wedding is and I know we've had this discussion. I don't know if we've had it on the show.
Right.
The wedding is fine. The ceremony, the religious ceremony is great, but you ain't married till you go to the courthouse.
Right.
And so you go to the courthouse, you do the thing. I don't think they should force churches to perform the ceremonies.
Right.
But I do think that they have the right to be married. But I don't think that that right should infringe upon your right to practice your religion as you please. Because then that's different. You know what I mean? And I think you should have to allow people to come to your church if they want.
What?
I wanted to say that. And I also wanted to say that the government saying if you don't do federally, if you don't do what we say you're going to do, we're going to withhold funds from you. I think that I should have the right to do that with my tax money too.
Yes.
If you're not going to do what I think you should do, then I shouldn't have to pay taxes.
Right.
How about that?
Right.
You know?
I do think that when we're talking about these complex issues, like, for me, okay, I think there are forces in the world that if I were going to sit across the table from a homosexual person and talk with them, there are forces in the world that want to throw issues like the bathroom.
Mm-hmm. They make it about these ridiculous
things. And make us and get us to argue about stuff like that.
I agree.
And not have, I believe you can have a healthy, serious, nice debate and be disagreeably.
Yeah. And that is the problem with our society today is nobody wants to compromise.
Right. And I think there's some things, I don't think the, to me, the bathroom compromise is just single bathrooms.
Right.
That's
for me, it's a family bathroom.
No, I agree. I agree with that. But while to me, there's, so I would sit across from a homosexual and be like, let's not argue about this. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let me say what I agree with you about. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Where's our common ground?
Our common ground is you think that in America, this bathroom deal is a bad deal. While in Saudi Arabia, they're killing. They ain't just killing homosexuals. They're killing Christians.
Right.
They're killing both of us. Mm-hmm. And that's a commonality is that in other parts of the world, Christians and homosexuals are
equally despised.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I think what is ironic is a lot of the corporations in America that would come out against this bathroom deal freely do business and have no problem working with these other countries who are killing, not just saying, can you, killing the people that they're so passionately for in America.
Okay. I agree with that.
Let's have let's have that conversation.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I think if we more as people focused on what we agree upon and work towards changing opinions than just beating everybody over the head with my opinion's right and yours is wrong, we'd be better off. But back to the elf on the shelf.
We have two elves on the shelves. One is the regular elf on the shelf. One is a Clemson elf on the shelf.
Hey, now.
They are both, if we went to my house and we had lunch at the table, they're both in... They're, I don't know, some kind of decoration, and they are both in the decoration year round.
Huh.
But we make no mention of them because the kids, my kids, are at that point where they've
figured some things
spoiler
out.
Alert.
Uh-huh.
I'm the one buying the presents. Okay.
And your kids have grown up a little quicker in some ways.
Right. Drake is at that great age where he knows, but he
Right, he doesn't want him. By the way, I loved the picture you sent me of him holding two bags of popcorn the other day.
he was mad. He's mad at me for that. He got because
I called him two bags of popcorn.
No, because Jordan was making jokes about it because he had listened to the episode.
Oh, no.
So, but it was all good.
Oh, I would never.
I know.
Mean for it to hurt his feelings, man.
No. It was all.
Dude, I eat plenty too. I didn't realize it was going to upset him.
It was just one of those. It was just one of many, many things. So let's get to number one. My website crashed. So number one, this is the one I want to talk about.
What was it? Because I knew it until you said, like, I was sitting here thinking, number two and number one. Oh, yeah. Number one, the Throwback Thursday was started. The Throwback Thursday hashtag started by the NSA to help further the facial recognition software. Because even if somebody's not on social media, there's still tons of pictures of them that get posted yearly for Throwback Thursday. And they're able to more identify people. And continue to collect data on us.
So think about this. They have just started. You know, all my yearbooks burned in the fire. Southern Wesleyan just digitized all their yearbooks.
Oh.
I wonder how more and more places are doing that.
Yeah.
This is before the internet, before we had. And I'm telling you, I don't think this is a theory. It may not have been that somebody invented it, but to say that the NSA is using that,
yeah, They're pretty much open with the fact that they're spying on us. I mean, it's not it's not like we're blowing the lid off some massive cover-up here that the NSA's collecting data on people. They pretty much tell you they're doing it.
Like, we...
And the elf on the shelf has got you saying, all right, well, I mean, I guess this is the way it is.
And this is what's crazy, is we live in a day where, like, when the whole deal with Edward Snowden. When that whole thing came out, the way it was painted from the beginning is, at first I was like, man, what a jerk. What has he
never
done?
Thought that.
Well, that's because I did not. But that's because I was reading headlines.
Right.
Once you get past the headlines and you, like the HBO documentary, Citizen 4.
I need to watch that.
Just, wowzers.
I love, like, the fact that you don't cuss. I always love the terms that you come up with to replace the cuss words. And I think they're better than the cuss words.
They are. They
like,
are.
Like, you say wowzers, I would say holy, you know.
Speaking of holy, that line, that was great in Captain America, Civil War, I thought.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah. Did he say that?
Yeah, something happens. He's like, holy.
I don't remember him saying.
So let's talk. So
those are those.
Don't post pictures on Throwback Thursday.
My other, like, I love the flat. It's not on there, but I love the flat Earth theory.
Yeah,
too. You're familiar. Everybody,
right?
Kinda, now it's kind of like a new thing.
Really,
that the Earth is actually flat, and we don't live on a sphere. And like, I like to read about that. It's pretty interesting. I'm not there again. Just because I talk about it, don't say that means Mark is a flat earther. Okay, but it is interesting to read
that.
The theories about why people think that we don't live on a sphere. Why people think, but my issue with that one is like, what's the reasoning that nobody can? But like every other conspiracy theory, here's the theory and here's why.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like the why for flat Earth is like just kind of they just don't want you to know it's flat.
Yeah, it's like are the people selling globes behind?
Right, like yeah, that's why. It's
like,
so
is there some guy somewhere just counting $100 bills?
Which is why it's probably the only one that's true. Because there's no reason to lie to people about this other than very early on, they told everybody it was a sphere. And if we tell everybody now that it's not, it's going to blow their mind and throw the Earth into chaos. And I just don't think people would care that much. But that we live on a flat plane floating in space.
But if the Earth is flat, then does that mean the sun is flat? The moon is flat?
I don't know what all this means. Basically, like, I think a lot of it boils down to that we are alone in the universe. And that all of this, like, the sun and the earth, I mean, the sun and the moon are kind of revolving around us. And I don't know the, because I haven't, like, got into it. But that's all I can figure is, like, we just kind of exist in the middle of nowhere on this earth. And there's really not all these universes out there. And we're just kind of here, floating. And nobody knows how we got here.
Unless they're faking the Hubble telescope.
And that's the thing. They are faking all of that. That's the theory. They're faking all of that. We're just floating in space on a flat plane.
So you need.
So we're
to,
like an experiment.
Basically. So I would encourage you, go on YouTube. It's about 40 minutes, okay? Uh-huh. But it's fascinating. It's Louis Giglio, he's a pastor, and I don't remember the name of the message. I'll have to look, but he talks about stars, and he talks about like they did a tour called "How Great Is Our God," and they were talking about all these stars and how far they are and just how massive the universe is. And so as you're talking about, it's just us and flat. I'm like thinking about all this. I'm like, Louis Giglio is part of the conspiracy.
Right.
Like, oh, man. Oh.
And it's so fun to look at. But it, like, all started, like, because some rapper said, you know the earth's flat, don't you?
Right.
And then Neil deGrasse Tyson was like, what are you, stupid? Yeah. You know what I mean? What are you, smoking crack? the earth is flat. Get the hell out of here. You know? And that was kind of what he did. And it like launched this whole conversation. And it's great.
Yeah.
I love just listening. Because people that believe this stuff, like they will defend it vehemently, like to the death, they will defend, no, the earth is flat. And I'll tell you why it's flat.
Yeah.
Because when they fly airplanes, this is the best one.
Yeah.
When they fly airplanes, they, if we were on a sphere, if we were in a circle, they would have to constantly be dipping the nose of the airplane to compensate for the fact that you're going in a circle. Because if you
don't
just,
they understand how big the circle is?
Because if you just flew straight, you would fly out into the you would fly out into space. if you didn't constantly make the adjustment to the nose of the airplane. It would, as you're flying, you would have to be like constantly working the joystick and knocking the front of the plane down.
Oh, we might fly off the map.
Yeah, and if not, you'll just fly straight out into space. That's the best. That's like the best argument that they could come up with for why the Earth is flat.
Listen, if you're a flat Earth person,
please,
and you're listening to this, let me just. Take it from me, I'm an expert on this.
If you're a flat earth truther.
Listen, you need to get your team together. Rethink your spokespeople.
Yeah, stop the double dropkick show right now.
Yes.
And seek help immediately.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm just saying if you're going to have that opinion, the people who are espousing that opinion in public, you just got to be careful who you let talk about it. So
we hadn't talked about wrestling at all, have we?
Yeah, we did. We said something about wrestling.
We said something. We were like, "This is the show."
Jimmy Hart. We talked about Jimmy Hart.
Where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with.
You talked about
Jimmy. What do you think about how people need to be pissing?
So we do talk about pop culture. So we've been putting this off. Civil War, Captain America, Civil War. Mm-hmm. What'd you think?
I really liked it, man. Like, I was reading art, like, before I saw it, I read, like, oh, this is the greatest action movie of all time. This is the great, like, somebody said, this is the Empire Strikes Back of the Marvel Universe and whatever. And, dude, I thought it was okay. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I thought that the Winter Soldier was better than Civil War. And I think a lot of it is because I've read the Civil War, and that's what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Like, I understood that they were not going to be able to do the whole story.
Right.
I knew that, because they don't have access. What are you doing
over there? I'm fine.
You fiddling with your
I got a new belt, and it's digging into my...
Pause this if you want
I'm good.
So kind of knowing, like, that the Punisher plays a big role and the Daredevil plays a role. And then, like, Charlie Cox and those guys, that when they signed their contracts for Daredevil, there were clauses that they may appear in some movies. And that universe, if you've watched the show, exists within the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yes.
Because they talk about the attacks on New York and things like that. And I think that I was expecting somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know who.
Mm-hmm.
I was just expecting there to be a reveal,
mm-hmm.
I guess, of maybe somebody that we hadn't heard. I thought maybe Thor or Hulk would show up at some point, and there was none of that. The big surprise, of course, was Spider-Man, but they'd already ruined that.
Yeah.
Which, we live in a society where you can't hide it anymore, so I guess that's why they don't try.
Right.
I thought Black Panther was okay. I mean, I think it's cool that a guy from Anderson is playing Black Panther. Not only a guy from Anderson, a guy who was a cousin of a friend of mine.
Yes.
So
I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, I did. I thought he was really good as Black Panther. I have not seen Ant-Man.
Oh.
I didn't see it.
I think you would like it.
I probably would. I mean, and I was kind of surprised at how good he was in it. I mean, I've always liked Paul Rudd. He's funny. But to see him turn into Giant Man, I enjoyed that. I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
And then for the Empire Strikes Back reference where they wrapped his knees up.
Right.
And knocked him down. I liked it. It was weird going in because I was like, clearly I'm a Captain American guy. Captain America. Clearly.
Yeah.
He's right about this.
Yeah.
And then by the time it was over with, I thought they had done a really good job of convincing me that he was misguided.
Really?
I still agree with his stance on the thing, which they said was registration, but it really was less about registration and more about just going and fighting when they told him to.
Right.
In the comics, it was all about, like, you have to tell your secret identity.
Right.
That was the
and concept. To me, that...
But in their universe, everybody kind of, their secret, they don't really have secret. Like, everybody knows Steve Rogers is Captain America. Unless, of course, he puts on the Marvel disguise of the single-colored ball cap, the jacket, and the sunglasses that everybody in a Marvel movie wears when they go undercover.
Here's what I think about Marvel movies. They have got it figured out.
They do. They got their formula.
They got a formula, and they're going to put it out, and the movie's going to make money. It's going to be vastly entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
There's not any of the Marvel movies that I haven't seen more than once. I got most of them on digital.
Uh-huh.
If you said to me, hey, let's go watch a Marvel movie, you could pick any of them out. And I say, okay, cool.
They're all pretty good.
There's not any of them that I disliked.
Mm-hmm.
However.
I'd agree with that.
However, and I'm a DC guy. Everybody knows this. I thought Civil War... With the subject matter, I thought it would tug me emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't.
You know, and I'll tell you, there was one minor scene.
Uh-huh.
And this is where I had a problem with Captain America.
Uh-huh.
Your buddy killed some people.
Right.
And then you act like Stark ain't supposed to be mad about the fact that this guy killed his parents.
Right.
That's when I became a Team Iron Man guy.
Yeah.
Like, how can you look at this guy and say that he shouldn't be mad about this guy beating his father to death?
Yeah.
I don't care if he was under mind control.
Right.
Whatever. He still beat this man. You can't get mad at him for being mad at this guy.
No.
So, and then they both team up and double team Iron Man, and I thought they killed him, to be honest with you. I thought they were going to kill Iron Man.
I thought
he was going to die.
They may tease it like he's going to hit him in the face, but when he hits his thing, doesn't that control his heart?
That's what I thought. So, in the trailers, Captain America says, and this back to your, I thought it was going to be more emotional. Captain America says, he's my friend. And Stark says, so was I. But he says it in a way that his heart is broken.
Yeah.
I thought I was your friend, too.
Yeah.
In the movie, that's not the version.
No. No, it's not.
It's not. And it's a real, he did not say it the same way in the movie. Because I've watched that trailer 30 times.
Look, I'm going to tell you, I don't think he.
He still said it. The line was still there. But it was not delivered the same way.
It was different, for
it
sure.
Was, right. It was.
It
was
not
an emotional
me...
scene. It was a.
Here's
it the, was, he's my friend, yeah, well, so was I, and now I'm going to kick both. It was that kind of, it was more, there was more anger in it. And I don't even know that he said it exactly the same way. I'm not talking about just the words, or the way he said it, it was also the words.
Yeah, the words were different. That's what I'm saying. The words were, it was a different line. The 8-year-old, 18-year-old, 28-year-old, 38-year-old, 41-year-old Heath. Was saying, guys, if you would just stop and you would just
talk to each other.
And that is what's the great thing about the comic. And that is what the great thing about the relationship between Batman and Superman is. And that's why when you're reading a comic book and Batman and Superman get to a point where they can't talk, kingdom come.
Which is really good.
they get to a point where they finally, basically Superman shows up and said, we're going to talk. And Batman's like, it's too late to talk, man. There's too many things. And when I read a good Batman-Superman conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I get teary-eyed. Because you see, these are the two, I mean, these, and one of the great conversations, spoiler alert, at the end of Kingdom Come, Superman and Wonder Woman are going to have a baby. Mm-hmm. And they invite Batman to lunch, and they say, we want you to be the child's godfather. It's the first time you see, that I've ever seen before or since, that Batman is caught off guard. Mm-hmm. Like, he gets there and he spoils it, and they're like, we've got some news for you. He's like, Diana's pregnant. And they're like, what? How'd you know that? He's like, well, you know, her hair, you know, she's put on a few pounds, da-da-da-da-da. And they're just like, totally ruins the surprise. And they're like, oh, we want you to be. And he's like, what? He's just so great, man. I'm going to go read that again today.
Yeah, I need to read that. But just, that goes back to what you and I were talking about earlier. Batman and Superman are fighting, but then they found some common ground, and they were able to get past it.
Yeah.
And I just wish as a people and as a society, I wish that that would happen again.
Yeah.
And I don't know. And I'm being dead serious. I'm not being funny. Like, I wish that we could all just say, you know what? I might not agree with the way you live your life.
Right. Right.
And you might not agree with my religious beliefs. And I might not agree with how you feel about welfare. And you might not agree with the way I feel about whatever.
Right.
But you know what? We all love our mothers.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's something.
Yeah.
We all agree that maybe we should try to make a better world for our children.
Right.
So can we not put aside what we disagree about?
Yeah.
Build a foundation on what we do agree about, like you and I do.
Yeah.
Everybody knows you and me have to. Can I tell them what I said to you earlier about the book?
Yeah.
Okay. You said, take this book. And it was a joke because it came out a little
different. We were in my office.
We're in your office, and you're like, hey, take this book. You'll enjoy it.
Because I've got multiple copies of it.
Because you like man versus nature stuff, and this guy finds himself in a pit with a lion on a snowy day. And I said to you, is it a real story or is it in the Bible? it became this joke between us. You know what I mean? And you started mocking me. And like I was a hipster and this and that and the other.
And you know what? A year or two ago, I wouldn't have known what to say. And now I just, if you say something
that most people that you interact with won't say to you.
Yeah, then I just start mocking you.
Right.
Because what am I going to do? Punch you? All I got is my wit and my charm.
And you got both of those in spades, that's right, my friend.
Listen, we got 3 minutes left, but I just want to second what Mark just said. We've talked about, we've disagreed on this show. We disagree on this show a lot. And who would have ever thought, you know, that a wrestling podcast would have a time where we can talk about issues that people strenuously disagree on.
Uh-huh.
But we talked about it in a way that was respectful. You didn't change my mind, and I didn't change your mind.
No.
And
but
nobody
called each other names.
No, we didn't. We didn't.
And we're still going to go eat lunch together here in a few minutes.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. Maybe. But listen, hey. When we talk about what are the things that we agree on, if you're listening to this show, however you found us, we all agree that wrestling is a great distraction.
Right.
Wrestling is that great thing, or it can be.
Yeah. It ain't here lately.
It's depressing when it's not that, because wrestling, when at its best, should grab you emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying, Mark, is that wrestling become too much like Civil War. It needs to be more Batman, Superman. That's all. That's my personal
that's right.
opinion.
While we're wrapping up, I would like to hear people's feedback on whether they think my voice sounds better.
Yeah. Mark has given up. You, how long has it been since you had a cigarette?
Well, since I had a cigarette or since I quit smoking.
Since you...
Because they are two different things.
Right.
I've tried to explain to my wife.
Yeah.
I still have the occasional cigarette.
Right.
But I'm not like smoking a pack of cigarettes a day anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's been a couple of days since I had one. And even then, it wasn't... I didn't like smoke. I just was like, hey, can I get one of those from a buddy of mine?
Yeah.
Just to kind of curb the...
Yeah.
To help me get over it. But, I mean, it's been like a month and a half since I've been a smoker.
So give us feedback on that. Give us feedback on
I'm not coughing every 30 seconds, and I don't
Well, speaking of 30 seconds, that's how long I got to finish this. DoubleDropKick.com. We don't even have time to give our Twitter thing.
At the DDK Show.
I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitmer.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.